Welcome to Talking Comics. We'll just jump right in here. We have D. Hausner with us, and this is awesome because we've scheduled this a long time ago, but we've had to reschedule a little bit, which is fine. But he is the author, writer, illustrator of Kid Nebula. You sent me a copy, so that's awesome. I got to read this one today.
Awesome.
Well, we'll jump into that. But you also been a huge supporter of us. You backed our Kickstarter. Hopefully you got your copy of our book.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It looks great in person,
Oh, yeah. Mike, and I'll just jump into that. Mike absolutely loves you and adores you. Mike Algier, you know, our artist, Dork Arts Comics.
He
says he can't wait to collab with you. So. Sometime soon. So that'll be awesome.
Yeah. We've always been talking about it. So hopefully we'll be able to soon make it happen.
I love that. That was the cool thing where, like, you open up the first page of your comic and it's like you've got, I saw Dennis Knight, you know, Dennis Valencia, you know, and I'm like, oh, Dennis, I love Dennis. I got to see Dennis 2 days ago at Heroes Con. So that was
awesome. I'm jealous, man.
You're going to be even more jealous. We're going to Terrificon in Connecticut. So I get to meet Mike in person for the first time, which is going to be amazing. Man. He's been on the show a couple times. You know, we've talked a lot. We talk almost every day on Instagram. But, you know, we collabed on the whole book. But so him and I are tabling together at Terrificon. Wow. Well, not only that, but the table right next to us is the whole Homebrew Comics guys.
Oh, man.
So it's going to be an epic weekend. So... it'll be so much fun. You should try to
Oh, man. I really did. I talked to Mike actually about that. But it just, I couldn't make it work, you know, just scheduling and the time away and all that stuff. But
it's hard being, you know, other side of the country. Yeah. It's hard enough for me. I mean, I live in North Carolina, so the opposite end of Interstate I-40. And, so it's like, you know, I'm still, you know, 12-hour drive up to Connecticut. So. But that's okay, you know, but I'll make it up there. It'll be awesome because I can't wait to meet Mike in person. That's been one of the coolest things is getting to meet people that I've had on the podcast in person and, you know, at shows. And just building the whole community. It's been fantastic.
Yeah.
And we jumped into way ahead, but that's okay. So let's back up for just a minute.
Like previously on.
Yeah, exactly. Rewind just a minute and tell everybody who you are, what you are, what you do, who, you know, everything and how you.
Wow. I mean, you kind of gave a quick one there. Yeah, I'm D. Hausner, based out of the LA area in Southern California. And I'm the writer, creator, artist of Kid Nebula. And kind of just I always kind of consider myself more of like a cartoonist creator type thing because that's kind of my influences that we'll probably get into later.
Yeah.
But and I kind of always drawn, doodled a lot, you know, then I kind of, you know, over the, wanted something positive to come out of that negative time of COVID shutdown. And I said, you know, now's the time to do it. And I've been having, you know, I've been posting a lot of stuff and a lot of cool people in the community, you know, started talking to them and we've been like kind of encouraging each other and it's been great, you know? And so I said, let's do it. And I just went for it.
So when did you start writing Kid Nebula?
So like, I guess formally, probably 2020, I started, you know, I already had a bunch of ideas, you know, a lot of just like kind of like crazy rantings of probably. But then I started formulating a story for this arc and all the characters. I had so many characters that I had to kind of trim it down. And that's kind of what I started doing. I just started posting on Instagram, just kind of like a snippet from like a possible scene or idea I had, and then started getting more followers and feedback, which I really liked the feedback and the community. And then from there, I just said, okay, let's do it. So then I came up with a idea for, I go, oh, this will be easy. I'll just come up with one. And then I'm like, wow, it's not so easy. You know, it's like, I read like, probably like thousands of comics, but actually doing your own, it's it's no joke, especially when, you know, right, you're doing all of it too. I think I kind of just went for it, but it was really overwhelming, to say the least, you know, trial by fire. And as you can see, like, I ended up, I think I sent you, I broke it up into three volumes now, but the first one, I said, no, I'm just going to come up with this epic thing. And it was ended up being like 64 pages. And the printer, I went with Comics Wellspring, they just said, you can't add any more pages. We can't staple this thing anymore. And so I just said, okay. So I had to find a good stopping point. And then that's what I did. And because I didn't know if it was going to be how many volumes at the beginning. I just wanted to see how far I could get. And I initially thought maybe it would just be one big book. But then I just said, for my own sanity, I'm going to break it up into several.
And yeah, you sent me one, two, and three. Or
yes.
Yeah, volume one, two, and three. So
yeah,
I got through the first one. I haven't got to the second one yet. I did flip through it because I wanted to find Dennis's character.
But yeah, so that part was really exciting and also nerve-wracking. I always loved with comics how you have like the little editor note, little asterisk, little star, and then it makes you go down the rabbit hole and see how all these things are tied together. And I said, well, we should do that with the indie community. I mean, I think that's just amazing because we have so many cool characters. I was inspired by all the, you know, all these guys. And so then, you know, I kind of said, let me try it out. I'll put it as a tier in the Kickstarter. And I had to keep opening spots up. You know,
so that's how you, so that was, I wanted to dig into that a lot actually, because, you know, you were cool to let us use your book and my book.
I was honored. That was, you know, that was an honor
because Mike knew you and connected all that together. And I thought that was I don't know where the idea came from, but when I got the idea, it was amazing when we worked on doing that. And I started going back and talking to people, and you know, you let us use your book. Stephanie Phillips let us use Grimm, which was amazing. Yeah. And I got to meet her on Sunday. Like, she was on the podcast, you know, 6 months ago, but we finally got to meet her in person, and Annika got to give her. So Annika did a cover too. So that's Annika's cover. And she had a Harley Quinn that, you know, well, you probably saw the picture on, you know, Instagram.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, but she signed her cover forced and gave it to Stephanie. And then, of course, I gave her one of mine, too, because I'm giving everybody one that wanted to, that allowed us to put the book in. Right. Yeah. And I think did I send you two? I don't remember.
I'm not
if
sure.
If not, I owe you another copy. I don't remember now. But
no, it was totally an honor.
Excuse me. But that was like one of the coolest things to me, was be able to do that and kind of tie in like the indie verse into my book, right?
Yeah,
and
totally.
When I opened up your first page, because I hadn't realized you did the same thing, I was like, oh man, that's so cool. Because, you know, like Dennis let us use his book and all the homebrew guys did.
Yeah.
You, several people. So you had that as a tier on your Kickstarter?
Yeah. So I thought it'd be a cool idea to like, hey, if you want, you know, a character, your character, any character we come up together, I'll put that character in, and it won't just be like a little cameo. I try to do justice each character. And I was just kind of blown away by like kind of the enthusiasm for it. So I had to kind of open up a couple more spots, and I got some, you know, quite a few from the indie community. I mean, this one of my buddies also with this guy.
He's in volume Lurin, one.
Yeah. And it was just, I mean, cause I was a big fan of Lurin Tweed, that comic. So, and then of course, Dennis. I mean, we've kind of been on this journey together. We kind of were starting similar times. But yeah, and then some others just out of the woodworks. Like when I closed it down, they just said, hey, do you think you could? And then one person, I actually just, they didn't have a character, but they said, let's just kind of collab on one. So I helped come up with one.
Very cool.
Which was cool, but like I said, it added a lot of stress.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because one,
well, doing all the work.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then two, I go, man, for these, especially for all these indie creators and their characters that I just totally love and respect, I'm like, I got to bring it for those characters. So that's what I was really stressed about, you know. And it took me a while because I was like, I can't, you know, just if I'm not digging it, then I don't want, you know, to show them yet. I was like so nervous to show them.
I love that. I don't know if you saw it a few months ago. It's probably 3-4 months ago now. Dennis did a burlap kills the indie universe image. Did Kid Nebula make it?
Yeah. Awesome. Kid Nebula's there, and I think Giant Robot is in there too.
That's awesome. Panel Pete made it. I was like so honored that he did, like, included my little, you know, my little character in that thing. It was so cool. I loved it. But I loved the collabs, and I think more of us, you know, some people don't like it, but I think more of us that do it, I think it's cooler that we all collab on stuff like that. It's not like we're making a new universe or a big, massive universe. It's just, you know, little crossover things, and they're fun.
Oh, yeah. They're totally fun. And it's, I think it's cool because I think it's hard not to sometimes because it's, you feel like you're on an island, you know, when you're making a book. 100%. And then you put it out there and you kind of feel like exposed a little bit to the wind. Yep. And, you know, you don't never know how people are going to react with it. And so it's really great when you're kind of embraced. The whole community was just like into it. And then the thing in Bloomer is when I started getting like fan art and I was like, oh, wow. You know, I still get some, like they were posting some like a month ago and I was like, oh, this is amazing. So I always try to, if I can, I had a contest also, Kaiju Commando, my one character. It's kind of all bluish guy with the energy whip and all that stuff. And I had a contest, you know, draw him in your style. And then we kind of went with my, cause my daughter's also an artist. So I said, okay, you can help me decide, you know, cause that's too much pressure. I love them all. Right.
Right.
And then, so then she chose and I really couldn't break it down to one. So I ended up putting like 5 or 6 in the deluxe edition in the back just to, with their Instagram handles and then the winner won a prize. But the others, like, oh, I got to put them in too, because it was just so cool.
That is very cool. The fan art thing was, I mean, that's how it started for Mike and I, really. Like I had him on the show, right? Just as a creator, found him on Instagram and, you know, had him on the show then one day he sent me just like, you know, just like a piece of fan art, a panel piece. I'm like, well, that's cool. I was like, would you do a cover for me? And he's like, yeah. So he did the A cover, right? So he sent me that. And I'm like, dude, why don't you just do the whole book? And he's like, okay. And the coolest thing, though, is that right there. I know it's hard to see probably on your phone, but that is the original sketch of the A cover that he sent me. I was like, dude, like I almost cried. I might have cried. I won't lie. like have that, you know, that's from amazing. Mike, from the artist, from the book is just a really cool thing. But that same thing, it's like it was just fan art, which turned into a whole paid gig for him, right? And then same thing with this cover. It's really hard to see. I got one on my desk, I'm sure, here somewhere. If I don't knock my camera over. So this one. This is, Panel Pete's Thor, right? The Thor cover.
Yep.
And Colin Hawkins from Nuff Said Books, he sent me that just as fan art one day. And I was like, dude, you have to make that a cover. So I paid him to make a cover, right? And he actually signed this one for me. I got to meet him at South Carolina Comic Con.
Very cool.
2 months ago or so. And so I have a signed copy there from him.
That's awesome.
But it's just so cool to be able to do those collabs and you meet so many friends. And like, I don't think a day goes by hardly that Mike or Colin or I don't talk, you know,
that's pretty cool.
On Instagram or whatever. So
I always feel like I'm bugging Mike a lot. I feel like we're always chatting and bug Dennis him. And all.
He
gang.
Loves it.
Yeah, it's great.
I think he loves it. I'll confirm when I meet him in person and he kicks me out of the table or something. But he's been an amazing friend and amazing to work with. Like, I just wrote a script, right? Like, that's all I did. Like, I didn't work hard at that. Like, I mean, I did, but because I'm not a writer. In my head, I'm not a writer. And, you know, is it perfect? No. But he helped me kind of get it better, you know? And then send me artwork once a week, you know, or whatever it was, just a page of the sketch and then the colors. And I mean, it was just amazing. And then when I get to see that book in print for the first time,
like, yeah,
you know, my daughter and I actually got to go to the print shop in Michigan. A friend of mine owns a print shop in Michigan, and we got to actually work every step of the process, like from picking out paper to hitting the button on the big printer, wow. You know, yeah. Cutting it, stapling it, the whole thing. We got to work the whole process. And wow. Just seeing it for the first time come off that machine and you're looking at it in person, there's no better feeling in the world.
I can't imagine. I mean, that must have been amazing. I saw that you were thinking about making that a whole documentary, right?
And that's, I am trying to turn that into a documentary. I'm very slow at doing that, but I'm really trying to, I think I'm going to kickstart it. I got to get a little bit more work done on it first before I like throw it up on Kickstarter, but I'd like to try to do a pre-launch page soon and get in, cause I wanted to do a, like an interview style like this. I've got a guy that'll do the interview, but I want to do it in person. I don't want to do it like, you know, digitally.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a location. Like, I think my comic shop will let me use their shop, you know, if we come in like an hour before they open or something, and just have a couple chairs set up, cameras, and do it there. Once I get that filmed and I can get that on the, you know, the timeline to edit in the editor, I can then chop up and do some, you know, like a trailer, I guess you'd say. And then I'll launch the Kickstarter. So
that's going to be cool.
I think I'm going to do. I don't know what to, like, thinking about like tiers and stuff, you know, for us, like, all right, a movie ticket, $10 or something, or maybe I can find some like custom popcorn or something. I don't know. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm still,
you got to do a custom popcorn bucket, right?
Right. Those are big. How do I do a custom popcorn bucket? You know, a Panel Pete, you know, or a Talking Comics. Like, it could just be the shape of a comic box. Maybe we do cardboard ones. Then they're flat and easy to ship.
There you go.
Yeah, see? Look, now I got to write stuff down. Popcorn bucket.
I think we're onto something here.
Right?
You got it, man.
You might get a stack of Panel Beat popcorn buckets sent to your house. So you did, we've been rambling, which is fine because this has been awesome. But I do want to talk more about you and, you know, your story. That's what it's about. You did the art, you did everything. Like, so how did you get into, was it writing first? Was it art first? Like, how did you get started on this path?
So it's kind of tough. It's like the whole chicken and the egg thing. So there's definitely a lot of, yeah, it's, so I guess I would see the images of kind of like, so I kind of see it running as like, a show or a movie in my head. So I started getting like these images, like these little teasers. And then, so it probably started with that. And then when I started drawing that, then I was like, oh man, then this whole story started, where that is, what's going on around them and all that stuff. So that's kind of how it started for me. And also some of it was just like thinking of like all the predicaments, like, you know, the hero you put in. Cause I love, like kind of all the pulpy stuff. Like I grew up with all that stuff, the cliffhangers and will he survive and all this stuff. So,
I love that.
I'd always think of those things. Then I'd just be like, oh, and then I started coming up with all these, then it was like I just started threading them all together, you know, and then that's kind of how it came. And then really the book, I mean, it could have been a lot crazier because it felt so chaotic at the beginning, because you it's like drinking from the fire hose type thing. You have all these ideas. They're like, well, how am I going to make any sense to anyone else but me, you know, when they're reading it? And then I just kind of thought, like, what do I want to get out of this, and why am I doing this? You know, those are the main reasons. And then a couple of the reasons during that time, I was just like, man, it's kind of like a real bummer of a time. We're kind of like isolated even more. So maybe I did the double whammy. I even isolated myself even more than that because I started working on a comic by myself. Right. But it was, it was really kind of cool. I go, I want to bring back some of that joy that I always had, like Saturday morning cartoons and all that excitement, and kind of like that where everyone would gather around and then all your friends would talk about on Monday, like what was going on and stuff like that. So I kind of want to bring that fun. So I go, fun is really, you know, I wanted to bring into that. And maybe I don't have all the details of all the, you know, all the lore of all the specifics of some, you know, like Tolkien would have like a huge Bible of stuff. And I had a lot of the ideas, but like to really put it like how he's done it, I don't think I could do that at that time. It'd be overwhelming. But I knew where these characters came from and what they've been through. And then I just said, hey, let's do it. And I kind of wanted also, as you probably saw, I kind of said, I'm going to kind of start almost in act two instead of act one in a way. And because I thought in some ways, I guess we're kind of programmed in a way to like with Star Wars, right? Start like somewhere in the middle somewhere, yep, or whatever. But then also I said, I think this is a good entry point just to introduce characters, and you kind of know what Kid Nebula's kind of going through at the time, what happened a little bit, you know, what has been going on in the past. And then you see what's happening now. And then it gives me room to like kind of go either way from here, right? Like I can, people have been asking me about a prequel. They want to see more about the dad and then also like, well, what about all these other characters and all this stuff? So I kind of did that in a way, because that's one thing I liked about Star Wars. Was he created this great world, and sometimes he didn't really say a lot about the characters, but your imagination would just go on like, oh man, like Boba Fett. I mean, he had like 2-3 lines, and yep, but yep, there's so much about him, this mystique, and then there's all these other characters who are just like, oh, they're so cool. And that's what I kind of want to do. I want to have a really cool team, a group of people, you know, that's kind of how it started. And then it just, I was just posting, right? I was just posting a lot and getting kind of almost letting people start following me. Like what they said, oh, kind of want more of this or more of that. And I said, okay, I can do that. But then when I really wanted to get serious about it, that's kind of when kind of mentioned a little bit, but like this whole time was also rough because like in 2020, one of my brothers passed away. And I was like, you know, gutted because, you know, I'm the youngest. So I kind of feel like, in a way I've gotten to know all of them really well. And because I'm a lot younger than, some of my really old siblings. And we had a great relationship and all that. And we bonded a lot, over the years, and him passing like that, it was just like, you know, I mean, you're just reeling from something like that. And then to make it worse, then in 2021, you know, my dad passed away. And I was just like, wow. I mean, geez, you know, the old saying of like, just get back up on the horse and all that, you know, it sounds great. But when you're getting like, you know, cup checked, like back to back like that, it was really tough. And I could feel myself kind of spiraling in a way, like, you know, like kind of just like questioning things, like, what am I, you know, doing all this stuff for? But at the same time, the community was really supportive and embracing me. So I'm like, well, that, you know, I kind of felt that. And I was like, well, I need that, you know, that energy is really good. And then, but then for me to actually create this comic, it took a while. I mean, I had all the pieces starting to go, but then to actually say, I'm going to do this thing, it was kind of scary because of just all the stuff I was going through and all the things in my head too. I'm like, I wanted this to be fun, but then I don't want it. What I'm going through is probably going to come out on the page.
Right.
And I was like, everyone's like, whoa, that took a turn. You know, it's darker. So then it like just, then I just remembered like, one of the last big, deep conversations I had with my dad, which was a while before he passed, because he started kind of losing it where he couldn't have like really deep conversations, but he was still healthy. It was just, he just, you know, it was just kind of, I think, hard for him to like process and remember all these things like he used to do all the time. So, but he was a he was an artist and a writer. So he wrote 3 novels, but he was always, I think his whole thing was he finished 3, which I thought that was amazing. Like anytime he gets to the finish line, right? Yeah. But then he didn't want to pick him up and the edits, the revisions and all that stuff. So then when we had a kind of like one of our last deep talks and I could tell he was getting excited about what I was talking about and showing him and stuff. And he was just kind of like, you got to do this. And I kind of promised him. So I was like, I can't back away now, especially after what happened. I said it'd be kind of like in honor of him and my brother and just at that time too. I mean, it all happened at the craziest time. And I think what really affected me a lot about both was because of the time I couldn't be there with them, because my dad and my mom would always come and visit us. But then there was a lockdown. So he was at a kind of a senior home. And so even my mom couldn't visit him. They basically locked it down, because they wouldn't want, I can understand why, right? They didn't want anyone to get sick. So that's what really messed with me. It's just like, being even more isolated, at that time. And so I was just like, man. And then so once we had that, I got to finish this thing. And I just started cranking it out. And that's when it went a little out of control. Like, oh my God, this is already 64 pages. I got to chill out a little bit. Or this Kickstarter is going to take me forever to like fulfill, because I kept telling people, showing them like my updates. But I'm like, eventually I'm like, I want to give them something, right, I don't want them to, because they've all believed in me. So I got to give them something. I got to make it good. But then that whole thing about the, trying to make it perfect was getting into my head. And I'm just like, can I even do this? And all that doubt, right, creeps in all the time. But I just kind of try to focus on that. And then it got me through. I mean, I think it was one of the first pages of the book was the one I waited to, let me see. It's like when he's at his dad's kind of memorial thing.
I remember that page.
That was one page that I said I never went back to. I went and I did multiple edits of everything, but that one I just cranked out one time and I left it. I just said, I don't want to have to, kind of relive it again and again type thing.
Yeah, because it talks about his dad and older brother. Now it all comes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it now. Dang.
Yeah. So it was pretty deep. But yeah, it's, so I try to put some of that in. You always try to put some of yourself in some aspects, but then also the other aspects, like having a lot of fun. I'm kind of a kid at heart. So I try to kind of make the anchor, the compass of this, the true north, which is kind of like family and found family or blood family, and kind of like what you would be willing to do to risk, to sacrifice for the ones you love or care about. And that's kind of what I just said. That's going to be my, my anchor in this whole thing. And I'm going to do some crazy stuff, kaiju, giant aliens and robots and things like that. But I kind of wanted that to be the, the essence of it.
That's a great story. And you kept it family friendly. I know you and I had a conversation on Instagram a few months ago. You're like, I want to, it's welcome to the family friendly club or something like that. Yeah. Not many of them out there, right?
Yeah. It's the first one I'm working on. I'm working sometimes late nights. It's usually the best time, or at least when I was working on this one. When kids are like, what are you working on? I don't be like, can't show you.
Yeah,
you
know? Go away.
But even though still, without spoiling too much, but like my son still wasn't happy with a couple of the decisions I made in the first book. Or it might be in part 2 of the one I gave you, because I split it up to make them all around the same pages. But yeah, so he was like, why? And I was just like, don't worry, it all makes sense.
I love the fact, the same reason, right? Like, you know, I did this with my daughter. Like, she did a cover, but she also, she mm-hmm. had input throughout the whole thing. You know, mm-hmm. she read the script. She was like the first person to read the script after I finished, for, you know, writing it. She got this, you know, she's the second person that saw it. Well, I guess third, technically, if you'd count Mike actually making each page and sending them to me, and she'd be mm-hmm. the next person to see it, right? And yeah. so she had input throughout the whole book. And, you know, similar, like I wanted her to be able to experience that. And, you know, yeah. so we kept it family friendly, you know, and we try to keep the podcast. It's 98.8% yeah. family friendly. There's some slip ups in there somewhere, but, you know, hopefully I won't get called out on those too much, but we try to keep it very, you know,
that's a good ratio. 98.8
or something. I don't know, yeah. whatever. But, there's enough negativity in the world, right? And
yeah,
the people that I've, like, you know, met in the industry, 90% of them have been fantastic. You know, you've been supportive. You know, we've not really talked much till now, but, you know, a little bit, you know, a few messages, you've been super uh-huh. supportive. Like, you mentioned the kind of the same thing. You and Dennis kind of started at the same time, right? You know, and mm-hmm. the homebrew guys and a few others that I've met have done the same. So I consider you guys like the senior class yeah. in our little comic high school, you know, and I'm just a mere freshman at the moment. But, you know, I love how we've been accepted, you know, and, you know, included in this community, you know, has been mm-hmm. fantastic and amazing. And I'm so glad that you were able to do it too and
get that story
out there. So how yeah. long, you know, how long were you taking to, like, make each page and stuff? Did you write a script first, or did you do kind of like just kind of flow with it? How did that all go?
So the beginning, I'm like, yeah, just do the Marvel way, right? Yeah. That sounds really great. But then, it did work at times, because I would kind of go into one of those flow states where I kind of feel like the page should do something like this, you know, like in each panel. And then I would figure out, like, okay, this is where I could probably say this and that after the fact. And I got rid of a lot of dialogue. So I'm like, oh, that kind of blocks up something. That was the learning thing of, like, trying to, you know, the economy of words, right? I mean, that's always tough. Because you want it to have both. I mean, I think that's what's the beauty of comics, is just kind of that marriage between the two. You know, the pictures, the drawings, the art, and the words. Right? It's kind of like, you know, they're like finishing each other's sentences. That's kind of how I always see it. So if you can get that same message with an image, then maybe, okay, I can get rid of this 3-4 sentences or right. something like that. You just show it. Or sometimes, you know, that one sentence or word could just basically boom, like, hit hard, you know, with the art. So it's kind of a long roundabout way to answer your question. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry about the rambling, but it kind of changed as I was going through the book. So at the beginning, I started definitely, just kind of flowing with the art, and I had a rough outline, not like a script. It's just like a rough outline. And then it stayed kind of not like a script still, but then I basically said, these are the beats that I kind of feel need to happen on this page. And that got a little clearer for me. Because after a while, I'm like arguing with myself, like, what does this writer want from me? I don't, you know, and I'm an artist. And so I'm like just fighting with myself. And then I kind of articulated in a way that made sense, I think, to both sides of my brain or whatever. And then, I still don't do, like, I haven't done, I think only for one collab, I've done like a real script. Most of them, I do outlines. I'm always thinking of it as like an animation. So I go, okay, these are like these keyframes that I'm thinking about. And that's kind of how I do it. Granted, it probably cause more editing at the end because I said, oh, that we need more to talk about something here because they're, you know, just jumping all over the place. And then, so I had to add some stuff during editing. I added a few pages and panels and more dialogue and stuff just to kind of, so people aren't so disoriented with everything that's going on.
Did you have, do you work digitally or?
Yeah. So mainly I do everything digitally because especially as I went further along in the process, at the beginning I would, you know, sit down when and just kind of scribble on some paper and then I'd just scan it in or whatever. But then I just said, wow, I can just do it all on my iPad. So I basically, I've done all the books so far on my iPad, Procreate mainly. That's the main one I do. And I have Clip Studio. Everyone keeps telling me that's what you got to be using, but I was close to switching to it. And then that one update, like kind of early on in book one, they said, oh, the Procreate update has, you can do text and upload fonts and all that stuff. So I'm like, oh, wait, I can do all that. So that's what I've been doing. But I definitely want to mess around with Clip Studio more because I've seen, it's really powerful. Again, it seems like it's a little tougher. It's not as turnkey, I would say, right. Because, you know, there's all the stuff that you have to kind of, once you understand the workflow and all that, but with Procreate, I just loved it because I could just, boom, just open up a thing and create a layer and just start drawing, you know, and that's what I loved about it. I just wanted to get rid of as many obstacles for me to finish this thing.
That's, and Mike's been very encouraging, but I'm trying to learn to draw a little bit. Like, I'm not an artist, right? And I'm never going to draw like a full comic. But my daughter has been making little zines, right? Like just little 8-page. Oh, I saw you
folding one.
Right. Yeah. Well, so that's a funny story. That video. So my daughter made one. It's not folded, but so my daughter made one, right? A black and white one. Mm-hmm. We saw one at a convention and we got home. She's like, hey, how did they make that? So I was like, I looked it up, right? Saw somebody else's video. And I learned how to fold it. So I folded a blank one and handed it to her. I was like, yeah, here, this is how it's done. She ran to like the other room and grabbed her like markers and stuff. And she came back like an hour and a half later with a completed 8-page scene. Panel Pete goes to the moon. I'm like, okay, this is awesome and way to show up your dad, but okay. You know, so I was like, so I scanned it in and, you know, I, inked it, I guess you'd say, I use Pixelmator Pro is my software that I use. Apple's what Pro. I've been using it for years for graphic design. It's just what I'm used to. So I did that. So then, Mike, sent me, I don't remember how it came out, but Mike sent me like a picture of the lunch lady from the comic. And you know, I did the lunch lady sticker and we were joking about the lunch lady and we're like, well, what if she's like a John Wick assassin at night and a lunch lady during the day? And I'm like, this is phenomenal. And so he created I have it right. It's black and white. He has it in full color, but the iron ladle, the lunch lady zine. Okay.
That's awesome.
So it's called the Iron Ladle, Tales of the Lunch Lady. So now the world of the Chronicles of Panel Pete now has expanded into a whole nother, you know, line of Tales of the Lunch Lady zines. And so he created a whole 8-page zine in full color. And he just sent me a message the other day. He's like, how do you fold these things? So like, oh, okay. So I set up my camera. I'm like this. And I sent him the video. And I'm like, you know, that's actually not a bad video. I should just post it for everybody.
Oh, that's good.
So I ended up, you know, posting it. And it's actually done pretty well. So most of my videos don't do that well. So maybe I need to do more how to fold zine videos. I don't know. But... so yeah, I'm super excited. So I am trying, I've told Mike, I bought a sketchbook and some pencils and, you know, I've been trying to just, you know, do some tracing just to learn and, you know, do a little bit of stuff. I've done a whole page full of stuff so far. I haven't shown any, well, my daughter's seen it, but And then she's sitting there, well, let me show you how to do it, Dad. Okay, thanks, kid. Get the hell out of here. But whatever.
It's awesome.
It is awesome because I'm super excited because she's if she sticks with it, I think her art's good already, but I think if she sticks with it, she could be a very serious artist. I really do. I hope she sticks with it. So, yeah, she's teaching me. So, I'm hopefully my goal, it won't be, I don't think it'll be by Terrificon, but sometime soon, I want to do, my goal is to make a zine, just a black and white, eight page zine.
That's cool.
Because the coolest part about this is, you know, just like, Mike sent me fan art. We're doing the Lunch Lady stuff. You know, this universe can be as expansive as we want, you know, especially if we do some crossover stuff. And the beauty of Panel P is he's just being the comic word bubble, is he can live anywhere in any universe, in any timeline, and, you know, exactly. So like it's endless possibilities.
Yep.
And I've been working on the script for the next one. When I lost my job, you know, got laid off or whatever, I kind of sidelined that in my head. Just with everything else going on, but I am working on the script for the next issue, which will be, which they're all going to be like series of one shots in my head. But the next issue will be like the origin story of Panel Pete. So that'll be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But at the same, you know, right now I don't have the money to, you know, invest in it like I did, you know, for this one. So if I can make a little bit, you know, sell a few more copies and use the money to do the next one, that would be, you know, ideal. So we'll see. Just, it may not be this year. Just might have to wait a year, you know?
No, that's cool.
It is what it is. But if I do the documentary in between, or if I can make enough off that for the book or something, you know, or with this Kickstarter, you know, I'm rambling about myself, which is not supposed to do here. But with this Kickstarter, I did with mine, I had the book done on, you know, sitting here in boxes on my floor before I even launched the Kickstarter. So I knew, that it was a done project. You know, with the next one, maybe I'll launch it before and use some money to make the book. I don't know. I'd have to up my, you know, goal, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But Kid Nebula, go get it. Where can people get it? I got more questions. You're not out of this yet, but where can people go get your book?
So right now you can get it on my website, kidnebulacomic.com. Got the shop there. Or I just, after some of my buddies convinced me to go on TikTok, I've got a TikTok shop there with all the issues there. And then, what are the old straightforward thing? People just DM me on Instagram and just say, yo, can you hook me up? Send me, you know, and I say, okay, yeah, and can do that. So I've got, because we just finished, I'm almost done with all the cons this year. There might be a couple that I'm waiting on, but so I've got a decent supply still that can handle both. So I've been still shipping them out. It's been great. So yeah, you can just go to any of those. Contact me, or there's the shop on my website or on TikTok.
Awesome. I will, we'll check that out. I'll have all the links below, or above, beyond, wherever.
Yeah, wherever.
Wherever they show up on whatever platform you're watching this currently on or listening to this currently on, because we're everywhere. What's the next project for you?
So right now I'm working on book four, kind of the final book of this story arc. I'm hoping to have that. I was hoping actually by now, I was like, to have it already out, but the Kickstarter. But I'm hoping to kickstart that kind of in the July timeframe, so soon.
Do you have a pre-launch page up yet?
I'm working on the trailer right now.
Okay.
So, sweet. And then once I have that, then I'll, that'd be awesome to, I'll probably be bugging you like, hey, can I sneak in again?
Yeah. So one of the cool things, I don't know if you noticed is, and I'm doing it this week with Colin Hawkins, because he launched a Kickstarter last week. So he's going to join me Thursday with Annika and I. So on Thursdays, my daughter and I, we record. And then people that have been on before like this, I let come back on during that show. Either they could do a pop in for like 10, 15 minutes to talk about the project, or Colin's just going to join the whole show because, you know, we're buddies and he wants to hear all about our Heroes Con escapades. And we got some really cool stuff coming out, but well, it'll already be out by the time this is actually out. So next week, but I record a little bit ahead, but try to sometimes, you know, like last week, you know, somebody canceled, you know, whatever reason. And I got to scramble to find somebody, but it's not usually that hard. People, I mean, I'm booked till like October, I think, at this point with people on now, which is crazy to me to think that that can happen.
Yeah, it took me a while. Like when I had to reschedule, I got bumped for a couple months. So
I'm sorry about that.
No, I was like, that. I was actually stoked for you. I'm like, that's awesome. I
appreciate it. Yeah, it is awesome. It's just crazy for, that's why I let people start coming on the Thursday show too once in a while just to get more people in, right? Like, I mean, I can only do, I'm two episodes a week's a lot. I don't think I could add a third. We did three, October and November, I did three a week because I had gotten behind. Wow. And I was like, okay, that's too much. Two I can handle, you know, two's not bad. A day of recording, a day of editing, you know, it's not horrible. Yeah. Have a couple days, do it again, but it's not bad. I can handle that. But three, that was a little much. All right, I have some fun questions for you.
All right.
Who was your first favorite superhero?
Wow.
Or comic character. Don't have to be a superhero.
So there's two. So the first, I guess, character that I, as a kid in the comics was Spider-Man. Sweet. That seems to be not like probably doing any crazy surprises with that one. But the other one was... actually, before that was, because my dad's favorite character was the Shadow.
Ooh.
So what we used to do was, because he loved the library, right? So he'd take me there and we'd hang out there. And he actually wrote one of his novels at the library. He'd have a typewriter and he'd go into one of those rooms that they still allow you to do that. But what we'd also do is we'd check out the old radio plays that he used to listen to as a kid. Of the Shadow, and we listened to that at home, and that was pretty amazing. So
that's cool.
So that one always has, like, you know, kind of a place in my heart, like the Shadow, because that's, you know, that's really cool. It's a great memories and experience with that one. And he kind of passed that to me, which was awesome, because he would tell me, like, as a kid, they'd all be around the radio listening to that, you know. So we kind of did that by tape cassette, but it was cool. It was really cool. So those are the two characters, probably.
The original podcasts.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right? Like, that's so cool. I listened to a couple episodes of the new Batman High Volume or whatever it is podcast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, man, this is a lot like the old, like, Dick Tracy or, you know, kind of stuff, kind of stories that used to be on just radio. That's really cool. The Shadow. A friend of mine bought a Shadow comic at the show this last weekend. It was really cool. Old That's, school.
Yeah.
Stuff. Do you remember the first comic you ever read?
Probably the first comic that really jumped out at me was Secret Wars.
Okay.
Because I was just like, but that's what I remember, but the youngest thing I remember is the Saturday morning or Sunday paper.
Yeah.
All the when I had my grandparents, I used to be sitting, and that's kind of how I started doodling and drawing. I'd go through all those, and I always got a kick out of the speaking of Spider-Man, the Spider-Man one, because, you know, it's like whatever, four panels or so.
Yeah.
And then the first panel's kind of like previously, kind of like in case you missed the last one, so that by the time it gets to the end, it's already done. You know,
it's already done. Next.
But it was a lot of fun. Again, it's tied with, like, really cool memories. But yeah, those two, and then the other one that blew me away was Daredevil. Like, I think, yeah, it was the Frank Miller run, I think, on that. And that, I was just like, whoa, this is really good.
That's on my list. I haven't got there yet, but it's on my list. My two read piles, it's pretty shameful, but it's okay. Do you have a current favorite, like a current series that you like right now?
Wow. So I still try to do I love all the, you know, if we're talking indie, really indie, I mean, almost all the homebrew comic stuff. I love Dan Price. We go way back. We were like right started the same time too. The Bigfoot Knows Karate. Dennis is Celestial Knight. Chris is his whole thing is awesome. Crit.
Yeah.
And then Drew has some really cool ones. Caspian Porter. Tin Man. I mean, he's coming off a bunch. I mean, he's like really cranking them out. But then you know, and then of course the other plug is the who I'll probably be will be doing a co-launch Kickstarter is another one of my close buddy creators that does the Retribution comic. It's kind of like mine is for, you know, safe for all ages. His is not so much. So it's kind of like we were joking about that. We actually shared a split a table in LA a year or so ago, and it was a lot of fun because people would be like, whoa, you know, like, you know, I don't know if the same reader, but it was really cool. But yeah, Cheesy Comics Shop is his Instagram, Robert Garcia. And he, it's like, it's really good. You know, I was always like geeking out about that one. That's an awesome book. It's like black and white, but then with just that red is the color.
Oh, yeah. Those are cool.
Yeah. But I mean, so God, I could go on forever with just those, that indie level, because that's what I do. And then the other one is, Escape to Earth. I don't know if you've read those. Mm-mm. That's got pretty much, it's got that pulpy aspect, but it's got dinosaurs kind of jumping through the time and multiverses and stuff. I mean, it's got, it checks all the boxes and you're fighting. And that one's really good. That one's Escape to Earth. And he just, I think he just, yeah, Steve Honeycutt, he just finished his Kickstarter, I believe, on that. So that's a good one to get the full five. But like for the other ones, I really like, and I always leaned, it's hard not to like what they've done with the Absolute. So, I mean, all of those I've enjoyed so far. I haven't read yet the Absolute Green Arrow yet. I haven't read that. But that one looks pretty wicked.
I heard it's good. Yeah,
Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman's really cool.
I'm reading Batman, Wonder Woman. I have the Superman. I just haven't read it yet because I'm a huge Jason fan from his God of Thunder series of Thor. I'm a huge Thor guy, so you know.
Yeah, I kind of figured that.
Yeah, you figured. Yeah, it's not a secret anymore. Yeah, I'd love to. I can't wait to read the Absolute Superman.
Yeah, it's good. And then I mean the fun one. I mean, I kind of find it fun because it's like is Dork. I like that one. I really like, I love his art style and stuff and just storytelling. It's really cool. It's nice to see something that's totally different than, you know, and that's kind of what I always try to lean into that with mine too. Don't get so stressed to be in that box of like, a comic has to look like this type thing. So I just kind of want to just, you know, do what feels right for the story and just kind of put it out there.
And that's another reason why I think I love Mike's art so much is just because it's outside the box and it's just so cool to me, you know? So.
Yeah, I can't wait for his DOA series.
Oh my God. It's so good so far. Like,
yeah, he keeps showing me little bits I see him posting. I was like, oh man, can't wait.
I love that's God. It's crazy to me because I've never been a big reader. Like I'd read a comic here and there, but like to pick up like a novel, no. To write anything other than like sign my name, like no. And now here I am. I've written a comic. I'm reading comics like every day. It's amazing. I love it. And then now it's like after working with Mike as close as we did on, you know, the Chronicles of Panel Beat. And now he's like, he sends me his pages like it was like he was sending me Panel Pete pages, you know, he's sending me the DOA pages and I'm getting to help him edit the book. It's so
that's
cool.
Awesome.
It's so much fun. I can't wait till that book. He won't have it done by Triff Company. He's got a preview done for it
Telling him like save me one so it can't be there, but
yeah, well I'll make sure he mails you one.
Yeah, but yeah, the other one is like I actually because I try to get like creators that were kind of doing the stuff around when I was like do variant covers, right? So Dennis did one. I had a bunch, but for the second one or the third one, I guess in the one that I broke up was Jevin Loop. I don't know if you've he's got some really cool stuff. He has this this comic, New Crewster, about kind of like this super space chicken. I mean, it's really fun and good, and his art's awesome. And so he did a cool cover for me, and he's got some really good stuff. And then Kevin Tran with the Overkiller, that one's really good. And then Philip Quick with all his stuff is fun. Like, he has, I've seen a lot of his art. I think he's come up, or he teamed up with Jevin for this new one they did, kind of like about this mech that's fighting stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff that I could go on for days on this stuff.
I'm excited about a lot of it coming out, especially Dan's. I can't wait to read his new one.
Yeah,
it's gonna be good.
It looks great.
All right, if you could live in any comic book universe, what would you choose?
Wow. Live in any comic universe? Man, probably. I'm kind of like, in some ways, I'm like old school and stuff, because I was raised on all those Saturday morning cartoons. Like, the comics are probably like, maybe Space Ghost seemed to be pretty safe, that whole world. I liked those types of cartoons a lot. So probably Space Ghost or something like that. And then, so yeah, I could be on his talk show later.
Yeah, that's right. The Space Ghost talk show. That was phenomenal. All right, if you could have a superpower, what would you choose?
Wow. There's always a catch with almost every power, you know.
There is.
It's like, probably, God, there's so many things that are so, I mean, all of them have a cool factor, doing a lot of them anyway. There's some that don't, but like, I mean, probably superpower. I do like the, I guess it's probably kind of from, like, you know, the healing and stuff like that, like regenerative power, like, so you can kind of take a punch. But I always was thrilled by, like, when the X-Men, when I got into X-Men, like, I like Nightcrawler, how he can, mm-hmm. like, coming in and out of places. And then Bam. Gambit's, yeah, and then Gambit is always cool with the energy cards and all that stuff. So it's kind of tough, but probably go with, yeah, healing, so you can kind of survive almost anything.
I like that. All right. Which comic book character, and it could be any character, main character, sidekick, whatever, but which character would you want as your sidekick?
Wow. Well, this guy behind me, the Iron Giant, probably wouldn't be a bad one to have.
Right?
He inspired a lot of my stuff. So
I can see it. I love it.
Yeah. He'd be great. But geez, sidekick, there's so many. Wow, that'd be tough. I mean, I'd probably go with him.
Okay. This is the last one. If your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
Probably, it might age me a little bit, but I think, like, Choose Your Own Adventure. I think that one's good. I used to love those, and I think every time you go to a bookshop or comic shop, it is kind of a choose your own adventure. You know, you just got to grab one and you choose it, and you go through it, and you go takes you for a ride. So I kind of like that, because, you know, kind of both of us, we started later in life, you know, right, in this comic creating thing, and I just figured, you know, it's never too late. So I think you can always do it. It's just got to just choose to do it.
That's right. I love that answer. What is something that I didn't ask you that you want to talk about, or what you know, need to talk about?
Wow.
I always like that. I usually ask that earlier in the episode, but I don't know, fit in here, I thought. So, you know, I like to ask that question because I don't want somebody to, like, come off the show and be like, oh, I forgot to mention this, or I needed to mention this, and he never asked me the right question, you know. So.
Wow. Nothing's really coming to mind right now. Nothing's really jumping out at me, I don't think. Rambling. I think I covered a lot of our touch bases on some of the things. But
I wasn't rambling. It was great storytelling, if you ask me. But, I mean,
I mean, the one thing I think whenever you're like, whenever I like approach like any type of story, cause I'm working on a couple other projects right now too, mm-hmm. on the side, which makes almost impossible. I don't know how I'm, you know, stay caffeinated, I guess, but I kind of try to come from the same place, even if it's a totally different story. And I kind of think about like things I've observed or just experienced in my life, whether I'm a kid or not, or an adult or anywhere in between, is like, and there's always something like some kernel that you can kind of reach out and grab me, like, yeah, and you can just expand that, you know. And I kind of touched on that with this, was like, you know, I kind of brought in my own life, like, you know, the Borealis Brigade. I lived in Alaska, right? So I love the Northern Lights and all that. And I just thought that was like magical. So I said, I got it. That'd be an awesome team, you know, like, yeah. No one's going to mess with them. And then just kind of, and that's why I think also like, I'm always drawn to like sci-fi in a way, because there's so many cool worlds, but then there's also that idea of space is kind of like this lonely, isolating thing. And I always kind of saw that as we moved a lot as a kid. You know, I went from, geez, everywhere, Canada, Michigan, Oregon, Seattle, Alaska, wow. Chicago, California, and all that. And then I finally said, okay, I think that's enough for a while. But so there is that element of like, you feel like you're always leaving something behind. And you, so there's a little bit of a piece of you. So you feel like lonely, but then you realize that if you just open up and, you know, again, it's like choose your own adventure. There's everywhere you go, there's a lot of cool stuff, and you just have to be ready for it and open to it. And that's kind of how I approach, like, that's why I think sci-fi has such a good place in my heart, you know, because I always think that the main thing is always like connecting with something, someone, whatever. And then I think in space, that really brings, like, amplifies that, because you could be just like floating out there and there's nothing you think until there isn't. There's a lot of stuff, you know?
Right. You kind of just answered it, but I'm going to ask again anyway, or ask this again, or whatever. I can't talk. I only host a podcast, but I can't talk. What, like, I like to get like inspiration for others, right? Like, what is your one piece of advice you wish you knew, you know, when you started, for somebody starting out? Or, you know, what's your one takeaway for somebody that's trying to get into it, like I just did?
Wow. So, I mean, I guess the biggest thing is just, you know, it's kind of cliche, but you kind of just have to take the leap, right? Take the jump, because really the main thing is like, because you can almost talk yourself out of a lot of stuff, right? Like, because everything's like, oh, there's already kind of like, if I'm working on something, oh, but there already was something similar in that vein. But then it's like, you think about it, that familiarity is kind of what connects everyone, because these stories, you know, have been going on for millennia. Like way back in the day. And there's a reason why there's always different takes on certain kind of story points and how they progress and all that, is because that's what we really, you know, connect with, you know. Like, even like subconsciously, we don't even know it, I think, as humans. And then, so I would just say, like, you know, try just to, like, I think it was Oscar Wilde that said, it's just like, be yourself, everyone else is already taken, right? So just kind of like, and don't get so that weight of like trying to, you know, if you bring your take to it, it's going to be different, right? It's going to be, you know, through your eyes and your brain and imagination. So I think you just got to go for it, and don't be scared. And again, don't try to always, I know it's tough as creators, but don't try to keep comparing your stuff with others, because, you know, you can see it. I mean, like at a con, I see like, oh, this artwork is amazing. But then you'll see like, well, how come there's more people at this table than that? Cause everyone has like their own palette, you know, and what they like. So I'm just like, hey, there's, if I like, the main thing I think is also like, I guess the core of it is you have to really like the story, you know. Don't worry so much about like, I need to do this type of story because I think that's mainstream, whatever. I think it's like, you really need to connect with it. You really have to be excited about it for a lot of reasons. One, they'll see that in the book, you know, that, wow, you weren't just like putting together something. It's like you put your heart and soul into it. And I think that's, people really connect with that, you know.
Now, that's a great answer. I think, yeah. You made me think, like, when I go to these conventions and I, you know, how daunting it is as somebody that wants to learn to draw and you're at a convention with all these great artists. Like, how do I keep going? But you do. You just keep going. Just keep doing it, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I started really trying to draw more than just, like, doodling and stuff was in college. And I drew for, like, a little funny cartoon for our college paper. And, you know, I did a lot of caricatures and things like that. And I always thought to myself, like, there's no way I could do a comic because people are going to be like, so I just kind of found my style in this and just try to make it work and be comfortable with it. But yeah, it's kind of wild. Like, cause people still ask me, like, can you draw this celebrity? And I'm like, I haven't really done a lot of caricatures in a while. I mean, I still do, like, I don't know if you saw my I posted, but I'll do stickers of, like, I did all the original Ghostbusters. I should send you because I get a kick out, and I do like some really random ones. Like, I do, like, and what sells crazy at cons is Magnum PI, like Tom Selleck.
That's
I
did awesome. Him
because I think people are just so like, what is this doing? But I do all these random ones that I grew up with, you know, and so I still try to do that, but it's a lot of fun. You know, it kind of gets you, because I think to do what you want to do, you kind of have to do something different. So then when you come back to it, it's like fresh. And that's why instead of always drawing like giant robots and a kid with a jetpack, I go, let me draw like, you know, Cheech and Chong. And then I'm like, okay. And then I come back and then it seems to help me.
That's awesome. That's great. That's, yeah, it's doing different things to help kind of grow the same, you know, the overarching image of everything.
Exactly.
Well, D, this has been phenomenal, fantastic, whatever kind of other words we want to come up with to describe it. You told a great story. I'm glad you told it. I don't know if you've told it elsewhere, but I'm glad you did.
No, I never really could. You know, it's still always a little
100%. I mean, I felt it. I really did. Yeah. I lost my father when I was 15.
Oh, man.
I have older siblings now, like you. I don't know how much older your siblings are. Mine are 17, 20, and 23 years older than me. So it's, you know, plus taking care of aging parents and, you know, my mom and my stepdad. And, you know, it's, I'm in that same realm as you right now, right? So it's like I could feel what your words touching. So I'm glad you were able to like get that out. And, you know, I can't wait to share that with other people and hopefully people listen to it. But thank you so much for being here. Check the links below. I'll have links to everything we talked about, you know, where you get your stuff. Hopefully we'll get to meet one day at a convention.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Awesome. Maybe we can work on another project sometime or anything. Yeah. Or work
got
with
some
Mike.
Ideas for some fan art for you right now.
Oh, I love it. Now fan art turns into actual work. Just saying. Ask Colin. Ask Mike. So, maybe not much work at the moment because I'm kind of broke. But no. But we'll get there. We'll figure it out. But D, no, this has been amazing. Thanks for being a guest. Thanks for coming on. And we'll definitely, when you get your Kickstarter going, let me know. We'll get you on with my daughter and I.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah. And thanks again for having me on the show. It's been great.
I
love what you guys are doing. It's amazing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Talking Comics Podcast, powered by Aquadio Media. Helping creators make waves.